It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway. MindCemetery.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our three-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the October 25th broadcast of Global Newsmaker Focus. This program is broadcast on United Public Radio and UPRN 107.7 FM, New Orleans, Louisiana, and 107.9 FM and 105.3 FM, Henderson, Illinois. In November 2011, Dalton and his colleagues established iPredator, Inc., offering the private and public sectors educational and advisory services regarding internet predators, cybercrime, online deception, and cybercriminal psychology. In June 2013, Dr. Nucitelli, his colleagues, and iPredator, Inc. formally launched their websites, iPredator, Dark Psychology, and Dr. Internet Safety, offering site visitors an incredible amount of information, education, and advisory services. Now, Vernell, did you want to note the second paragraph there? I hope I'm not the cause of this echo.
Well, continuing on with our intro, at the Center of Predator Inc.'s Product Services An investigation strategy is Dr. Nucitelli's theoretical construct, iPredator, which explores the dark side of cyberspace and the typologies of online users who use cyberspace to harm, steal from, defame, and exploit others. Now, since 2009, Dr. Nucitelli has dedicated himself to learning the psychopathological, criminological, and psychodynamic composition of those engaged in online malevolent activities. Dr. Nucitelli has extensive career and academic experiences in the areas of forensic psychology, cybercriminal psychology, and psychopathology, addictions, and development psychology. iPredator is the parent website for Dark Psychology and Dr. Internet Safety blogs. We have those listed at our webpage, iPredator, can be reached at www.ipredator.com, and Dark Psychology is darkpsychology.com, and Dr. Internet Safety, of course, is Dr. capital I, Internet, capital S, safety.com.
Excellent. And I know on iPredator and Dark Psychology, I also, I noted them as iPredator.co, darkpsychology.co. And I thank you so much, Vernell, there for that added information. And also, both Vernell and I want to mention that regarding this program, since October here in the U.S. is National Bullying Prevention Month, we'll be discussing the many facets of cyberbullying and the tactics children use to harm one another in cyberspace. We'll be discussing a new online volunteer group of Google Plus members called CANE, also known as Cyber Attack Prevention Network, and how they will be helping online users who are targeted by others for nefarious and malevolent reasons. Now, call-ins to our program tonight are so welcomed. They can be calling using our network number, which is 504-273-7379. Again, 504-273-7379. And welcome to the program, Dr. Nucitelli. We are so honored to speak with you. Your research, your initiatives are superb. Vernell, would you like to welcome the doctor yourself?
Greetings again, Dr. Nucitelli. Again, it is truly our pleasure to have you on our show as a guest tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on, ladies, and I look forward to tonight's chat. Unfortunately, the downside is it's about the dark side of cyberspace, so it's really not a bed of roses, but hopefully we can educate your listeners, you know, at least a little bit on how does a person insulate themselves from the various typologies of iPredator, because they certainly are growing.
Indeed. And, you know, Dr. Nucitelli, could you please share with the audience, with our listeners, more details of that iPredator, the information age forensics construct that you developed in 2009. You mentioned its mission as delving into the cybercriminal minds of those who use information and communications technology, or ICT, for nefarious and malevolent reasons. That's a direct quote from your site. And also, in 2006, you formulated Dark Psychology, and here quoting, which explores the criminal, destructive, and deviant drives in humanity, end quote. Could you give further details on this very interesting iPredator system and also on the Dark Psychology, which the research preceded that construct? Sounds fascinating.
Well, and thank you. It was a mouthful in terms of what you just said. Well, let's start off with iPredator. iPredator is an information age construct. As we all know, we live in the information age. And iPredator basically explores and describes anyone, whether it be an individual, a group, and now as we see with ISIS here and, you know, trying to access social media, it can even apply to a nation. And iPredator is a global construct that represents seven different typologies. I just recently added a new typology, which to me is, and I hate to, you know, whether you want to say evil or dark or, you know, perverted or deviant, would you like me to just give you the quick list of typologies?
Absolutely.
Okay, that would be cyberbullying, cyberstalking, cybercrime, cyber harassment, internet trolls, online sexual predators, cyber terrorists, and the one I recently added, which is one of the darkest, is online child pornography consumers and distributors. So those are the typologies of iPredator. And for me, I created iPredator so that I wouldn't have to say all of the typologies every time I was talking about these to hurt others.
Fascinating research. And, you know, the three websites, in the network, the iPredator network, are so informative. Again, iPredator.co, DocPsychology.co, and DrInternetSafety.com. And, you know, you even have assessment tests, evaluation tests at iPredator.co, which are wonderful for determining possible victims or exploiters and extremely helpful, I think, for anyone wishing to be more knowledgeable in the field. Now, you notice, actually, I'd like to just note a wonderful quote you have as to why you use the term iPredator. It's, sir, it might be from your thesis. It's after your thesis, but it's a quote of yours from 2012. Citing you directly, in nature, wild animals stalk and measure their prey using stealth and tactical strategies, increasing their probability of success while decreasing potential for injury. iPredators also use stealth, cyber stealth, to stalk online users, increasing the probability of achieving their aims while decreasing their potential of identification and punishment, end quote. And, you know, you also make such insightful references to the fact that with the global internet, there's such a tremendous potential for accessing the internet in anonymous mode.
And well, you just summed up my entire theoretical construct in what you just said. I call it the veil of anonymity. And essentially, is anybody can go into cyberspace, and they can be whoever they want, whatever age, they can post pictures, they can basically create, the kids call them sock puppets are what the kids call them, where essentially a person creates a whole different profile and then goes into cyberspace, and they act and behave as that particular identity. I've even done work in a profile cases where, let's say, you ladies, okay, not that you're iPredators, but we'll just use it as an example, to where the two of you are arguing with each other because you cheated on him and now she just found out. Well, what she does is she creates five or six different Facebook profiles. We'll just use Facebook. And now what she does with those different five to six Facebook profiles, now remember, they're all her, so now what she does with those five or six, she starts starting a group conversation with herself using the five or six different profiles against you, the target. And that is just one tactic out of hundreds that are used when an iPredator is looking to really hurt somebody. And to hurt somebody could be to steal from them. It could be to hurt their reputation. And when it gets really deviant, it is to sexually solicit, and then ultimately, whether it be to rape, molest, or abuse them, it could, and it's now starting to slowly happen, where we're now starting to see that the end sum of the tactics are homicide and murder.
That sounds so...
Go ahead, Patrice.
Well, you know, you have some very... state-of-the-art information to give to parents regarding protecting their children, including online sexual predation. And that would segue into your latest typology. And let me see here. You know, you had some very positive advice to give to parents. And if I can quote you here directly, Dr. Nucitelli. Dr. Nucitelli is quoted saying, and here's a direct quote, "It amazes me how some teens are able to both survive and thrive in the information age. Cyberbullying, cyberstalking, online sexual predation, and cyber harassment await them every day if they let down their guard in cyberspace. Not only support, encourage, and educate your children on internet safety, but tell them how impressed with their capacity to stay safe you are," end quote.
Well, yes. Well, I mean, one of the things in my past life, even though I'm still a psychologist, but when I was a private practitioner and a treating psychologist working in behavioral health care, I predominantly specialized working with children, teens, families, even though I did a lot of forensic evaluations in family court, criminal court. But as a private practitioner, I primarily worked with kids and teens. And one of the things, and for those you know, people out there that have children that are teens, well, adolescents, they consider themselves the center of the universe. And what do they think about us adults? Oh, you adults know nothing. You don't know anything. And you're lucky enough for there to be a grandmother or a grandfather, you know, that can actually sit the child down and talk some sense into them. So the way I look at it, particularly here in the information age, that the one way for a parent to slowly but surely to get their child to open up a little bit about their cyber lives is to essentially go with what they're already thinking, which is, I know nothing about cyberspace. Teach me. So one of the ideas that I even came up, I call it digital dinner, where once a week or once every other week, and even if you have to put a little post-it on the refrigerator, it's, let's say, every Wednesday is digital dinner, to where the family sits down, which doesn't happen anymore, but now it happens on this Wednesday, to where the family sits down and the children teach the parents or the primary caregivers, teach them about cyberspace.
That sounds like a very insightful program there to promote education among the family members. And
ladies, can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
Okay, and not today, because I know, you know, being a good man is that you never, you know, state the age of a woman. But you're either, if you're not my age, you're a little bit old, ask the two of you. What do you think is going on in the information age? It's one of the biggest things I'm trying to figure out. Why do you think just because people can go into cyberspace and not be identified and there's no laws and essentially they can't get caught, at least right now, why is it all of a sudden when they're allowed to go, are we seeing such awful, heinous, deviant behaviors that we've never seen before?
That's a question
for you, ladies.
I find it very intimidating. I try to exercise extreme caution, and I'm very, very particular about the particular sites that I do visit.
Okay.
Well said for now. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that there is such a potential for fraud, for falsely assuming another person's identity to cause them harm, that really the Internet visitor, the consumer of Internet information and visitor of sites has to always be vigilant.
Oh, definitely vigilant. And I remember when I first created iPredator, I call them the talking, even though I have a doctoral degree and the letters after my name, I'm somewhat rebellious against that whole nonsense because, to me, I'd just as soon listen to my local, you know, speak to my garbage man and take his advice as I would a professor at a university. So, to me, letters don't matter. It all has to do with the person and what's going on inside their heart and in their mind. But when I first came up with my Predator and I had it read by, you know, the professors, let's say, and the JDs and the MDs, they were, Dr. Nucitelli, your construct is well put together, but quite frankly, we don't buy it because it's no date criminal or deviant. It's just now they use cyberspace as a tool. Now, then my retort to them was, doctors, no, I disagree, because now, since the beginning of human civilization, there is now this new dimension called cyberspace. It is not real. The definition of cyberspace is an abstract, artificial, electronic universe. It is not real. That being said, we treat it as real. But if I said, ladies, you know, tomorrow, how about if we meet down at the cyberspace and have a cup of coffee together, we wouldn't be able to do that because there is no place. It's not physical. It is abstract. But we, as humanity, we treat it as real, and more it's becoming part of our lives. Now, you take it from a child's standpoint who has, you know, not become an adult, who has not individuated from the family, who is still a child. For them, and I can't prove it because I don't have research and there hasn't been any research yet, but I strongly believe that their relationship and what they do in cyberspace and what they get back is directly impacting their development in terms of becoming an adult. So when I was a child, I didn't have a computer. I didn't have Facebook and Twits and Geek and Snapchat and all this stuff. At best, I think when I was a kid, we had walkie-talkies and a CV. Well, now that's all changed. So one of the things that I feel is very important, and this is one of the missions of iPredator, is for one day, by the grace of God, before I drop dead, is that in every school across this country, just like when I was in school in health class, I had to get safe sex education, alcohol and drug education, and all the other stuff in health class. Well, what I think there should be is if there's not going to be a class on internet safety and digital citizenship, then at least maybe, I don't know, a week or at least a portion of health class covering how to behave in cyberspace.
Those are brilliant concepts, yes, because the internet has such a formative impact on the young people, on the younger generation now. And, at your iPredator Inc. Website, you graciously offer to you and your team to conduct training, educational services, or consultation. And also, you get both your email and your phone number, and also that you're available to interact with media and consult with all online users on these issues.
Well, yeah, because one of the primary goals of iPredator is prevention education, and prevention education is essentially, you know, teaching folks so that it doesn't happen to them, you know. And if you can't do prevention education, which is learning to not prevent it from happening, the next step after prevention education is early intervention. So, for instance, early intervention would be for, like, a child who's being cyberbullied. That child knows, because, of education, that child knows to go to his or her teacher, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, knows to go to an adult and talk about it before it gets really bad. And that is early intervention. So iPredator is all about prevention education and early intervention. And then if it goes into the dark side, that's when we move to the next step.
That's wonderful information. And, you know, I have a question in terms of if you were to develop a program that could be implemented in schools, what would be the topic guidelines that you would use? I know just now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned informing them on behavior, but is there, in other words, etiquette and red flags to be aware of, like stranger danger? Are there any?
Oh yeah, and that's good that you bring up stranger danger. I just recently created the way I've developed it, and this is going to take me my entire life. So I'm hoping I live at least another 45 years to 50 years. I'm 49 now. But about a year and a half ago, I developed Cyber Tiger and Troll Man. Now, they are just characters. They're internet safety characters, kind of like Smokey the Bear and Tony the Tiger. I developed them so that they could be characters that could begin to introduce some of the concepts, like you just said, to children K through 5. Now, when it comes to teaching internet safety and cyber attack prevention, first and foremost, we have to assess the developmental appropriateness of the child that you're teaching. So, for instance, a first grader, if I was going into a first grade class, I certainly wouldn't be talking about online sexual predators and online child pornography. That wouldn't be developmentally appropriate. What I could do for the first graders is have Cyber Tiger and Troll Man. Cyber Tiger is my internet safety superhero who goes through cyberspace, and he protects kids from cyber bullies. And like I said, he's like a Smokey the Bear, and he is, if I may say, are you ladies familiar with McGruff, the crime dog? Take a bite out of crime.
Yes.
Yeah, well, no disrespect to McGruff, okay, because Cyber Tiger, that's one of his heroes. But if you look at McGruff, God bless him, He looks like Peter Falk Columbo. Do you remember that TV show?
Yeah.
From in the long trench coat, he talks like this, you know. That's McGruff, and God bless him. I think he needs a partner, Cyber Tiger. Cyber Tiger is a white Bengal tiger with black stripes, and he is dressed like Neo from the movie The Matrix. And
okay.
When he touches his Z-shades, okay, he turns black with cyber blue pinstripes, and he's able to travel through cyberspace helping children, the young children, if they start to get cyberbullied, and then he goes out and educates them. Unfortunately, right, it's not really unfortunately, McGruff the crime dog is starting to teach or try to disseminate information on like cyberbullying. But when you look at McGruff, if I was like 5 years old, I'd say, who the heck is that old guy? He looks like my grandfather. That is the point of Cyber Tiger. Trollman is Cyber Tiger's arch enemy, who looks like a troll. He's, you know, kind of green, but he's a cyborg. And he travels through cyberspace lying to kids and trying to get them to lie to their parents and try to And that's where the good and bad dynamic is. So I developed Cyber Tiger and Trollman for the youngest of the youngest. Then after that, when we move into high school, Dr. Internet Safety is developmentally appropriate more for your middle school through your high school. And then even in later high school, early college, then you can educate on iPredator. By the time a child is 10th and 11th, even 9th grade, you certainly can be talking about online sexual predation.
Excellent. Do you think that this program could be like a pilot in a particular area or where it seems to be more prevalent?
I would want it to be everything I've created. I mean, I have created assessments. I mean, you know, I've had to create commercial products. I mean, by the grace of God, if I can ever get, you know, like Shark Tank or, you know, seed funding, I would make everything free. You know, but I've created assessments from cyberbullying. They're formal structured assessments that law enforcement, court systems, teachers or parents can use. With their children to both assess and to educate, but everything else I've created for free. So Cyber Tiger and Trollman, they're public domain. I just have to try to find somebody who is good at graphic design because I don't know, I don't know how to use like Photoshop and stuff like that to create a vector image. And about a year and a half ago, the National Ad Council, who owns, or I don't know if they own McGruff, I wrote them, they wrote me back, and they loved it. And, you know, they had said to, you know, once I get graphics and all that stuff, is to send them the information, and who knows. But mostly everything I've created is free, and it's public domain. So of course, I guess that's the long answer to say, yes, of course.
Yes. Well, at least you've taken some initiative in finding out how to get it going, and that's a lot. I really applaud you on all the efforts you're making to make this issue come to the light a little better. There's also another group, seniors, that I think are quite vulnerable to.
The number two, if we just look at all the iPredators, okay, particularly cyber criminals, which is one of the typologies, okay? Your baby boomers and your older adults are the second most targeted population outside of children 11 to 14. Are your baby boomers your older adults? And there's a page at the iPredator site that covers baby boomers. And, you know, when you think about it, it to me, I can understand why cyber criminals will go after the older folks. First and foremost is, and we all go through this, as we age, you know, we often lose our family members, whether it be our husband, our wife, many of our friends, and most older folks, once they hit, you know, their 70s, let's say, is that they spend a lot of time alone. Well, now, even though they're alone, what are they turning to, just like all of us are, our cyberspace, to take up that loneliness? Well, there are gobs and gobs of cyber criminals out there who know, just by looking at your Facebook profile, the information you're putting in cyberspace, he or she knows that you are a good target. And one of the downside, not that it's a downside, but one of, it's not a downside, it's actually an upside. Older people tend to be trusting, they tend to be good of heart, and they tend to be, they give people a lot of latitude because they've walked through life. So they tend to have a lot of gratitude and humility. Well, if you're not careful and you go into cyberspace and you present that humility, that humble, that kindness, that charitable nature as a senior citizen slash older adult, we don't say senior citizen, if I'm an eye predator, I've got you. So the older folks really, really is one of the populations going forward that have got to be educated. And if you look at the entire age range, the entire society, who's got the most money in their pocket? The baby boomers. The cyber criminals know that.
And, you know, I believe that very informative classes could be held at such locations as senior citizens to provide
most
this
certainly.
Group.
I got a call from a lady. It's now been close to 2 months, God bless her. She was in her 60s. She had set up a website, and goodness, what was she selling? It had something to do with not pocketbooks. It wasn't that feminine. It was like these Coachy bags. I saw pictures and stuff. This is, like I said, it's been about 2 months, so forgive me, I forget. But she had set up a website, and she was just starting, and she was getting a lot of support from her community and her girlfriends, and, you know, her husband had passed away, the children are grow up, and everybody's supporting her. She launches this website, she starts doing Facebook and Google Plus, and she gets a call from an official search engine optimization internet marketing company. Now, that company had its own website, had its own phone number, had everything. So the company emails her and then sends her to the website. She goes to the website. She likes it. They pleasantly call her. They call her. They're on the phone two or three, four times. And ultimately, they swindled her into giving them $23,000 to do a full internet marketing program, website design, analysis, going international, the whole nine yards. The moment she gave them the money, 3 days later, she calls. There's no answer. She then goes to the website, and guess what? There's no website. Gone. $23,000. Gone.
Wow. Truly horrific.
Now, when she had called me, because I end up getting calls essentially, and that's one of the downsides, is I end up getting calls when the person has been called crazy by their family, has already gone to the police, who's told them there's nothing they can do, has already called their local court systems, who said it's outside of state boundaries, and really if you have no proof or anything evidentiary, there's nothing we can do. And, well, by the way, who is the person who stole it? I don't know. That's the calls that I get. That is what we live in that we've never lived in before since the beginning of human civilization. Here's a point right here. Online sexual predators, your pedophiles. There was a time that the pedophile, the pervert, however you want to call him, they tend to be mostly male, still male, but now females are starting to catch up slowly. But that male used to have to, forgive my friends, get off his fat ass, get into his brown Buick, and drive and go down to the local elementary school or to the playgrounds, wherever it may be, with a bag of candy, whatever, and he would have to essentially drive and slowly but surely entice kids to come over. Nowadays, he doesn't even have to do that. He doesn't have to get in his car. He doesn't have to drive around. Still has to get up of his fat ass, but what he does now is just sit in at his desk in front of his desktop computer and now does the same thing.
Now,
and that is how everything has changed.
indeed, the potentiality for access and the use of anonymity makes it so much easier for these predators to perpetrate their crimes. And, you know, Dr. Michitelli, I want to mention as well, at your dark psychology website, there's very informative material on the subject of dark psychology, and particularly with an article entitled Dark Psychology, The Dark Side of Human Consciousness fascinated me. With this particular article, you present your concepts that, and here I'm quoting directly, interviews conducted by forensic investigators and research scientists with convicted notorious psychopaths have proven the theory of accelerated movement towards the dark singularity, end quote. And further down, and I think the things are just so state of the art, and I'm citing directly, not only have psychopaths divulged a perception of experiencing a sense that their evil acts accelerate in frequency, but also their experience of acting as predator takes on an addictive quality. Using cosmology once again as a metaphor for dark psychology, the closer matter approaches a black hole, the faster mass accelerates and can never swing away from the black hole's awesome gravity. Interviews with psychopaths almost exactly mimic this universal law of astrophysics, end quote. That concept that this addictive, horrible behavior just really can snowball into a really a horrible monstrosity.
There are interviews with serial killers that to where, not all of them, but enough to where I've been able, and this is where I developed dark psychology, to where they have reported an interview where they said the killing, the brutalism, all the evil that they were committing, that they did it so much, so frequently, that eventually it became almost like secondhand to where they were doing it out of habit. They were no longer doing it because it sexually aroused them. They were no longer doing it because it somehow clicked into their, you know, delusions of grandeur and being God, Lord, Jesus, or whatever. They were doing it now out of habit. Now, when we do something out of habit, we, you know, like for instance, if you have a habit of, let's say, smoking cigarettes, well, the payoff for that habit is the nicotine dependence, okay? That has a physiological purpose behind it. But the serial killers, when I developed dark psychology, that's when I thought to myself, like if you take like Alfred Adler, that's where I did my doctoral degree, God bless Alfred Adler, Sigmund Freud, and Carl Jung, well, I believe and subscribe to a lot of what they say, and Alfred Adler, which is also the teleological approach, basically says it's the philosophy that everything we do has a purpose. Everything is purposive. There's a purpose behind everything we do. And in dark psychology, as it relates to the dark side within us, is what I believe that's true 99.9% of the time, or let's say 99% of the time. What I do believe is, and the dark singularity is pristine evil. It is the purest form, and I know this sounds theoretical mumbo-jumbo, and I do apologize to your listeners, but this is dark psychology. And just like a black hole, because I love astronomy, the black hole is, as you approach a black hole and get close to the event horizon, is that you accelerate. And eventually, you accelerate to the point, and it's been proven, that even light cannot change its trajectory. That is what I believe is going on. So that, for instance, me as a human, if I kill and kill and maim and rape and hurt and do all of this over and over again, essentially, not only does it take on an addictive quality, but myself, you know, being somebody that's worked in addictions, there have been plenty of addicts I've worked with who would tell me, and I remember, oh my, I don't know how many times, where they used to tell me they didn't even get high anymore, that they would do the heroin or they would do whatever the chemical was, and all it did was take the edge off. It was no longer enjoyable. It was no longer wee and euphoria. It was to stop the withdrawal. So essentially, it becomes a habituated act, and this is what I feel under dark psychology, the dark singularity, we all have it, but just thank God, thank God we don't go down that awful road to where we even approach the dark singularity.
So what would you recommend just for the average user, you know, someone who just checks their email or, you know, maybe has
That is a great question. And for the listeners, I did not plant her, and I am not giving her a marketing representative. That is a great question. If you don't remember anything from tonight's talk, okay, all I'm asking your listeners to remember are two words, personal information. The more personal information about yourself that you disseminate in cyberspace, the higher likelihood it is that you are, one, going to get targeted, and two, you are going to be victimized from being targeted. What I can do, because now we live in a mobile device society, everybody's carrying smartphones and phone, you know, everything's mobile. Well, we also have folks, including myself, because I have to do that with iPredator, is we have multiple social media accounts. So let's say you ladies have Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and let's say a couple of others, okay? What I do as a good iPredator is I don't go to each of those, and let's say I make myself somebody who's a internet radio producer. You guys would be open to talking with an internet radio producer who works for ABC or one of the big guns out there. And what I do is if I can't get you to be a friend or connect with me or link with me, what I do is I take bits and pieces. I call them, you know, digital breadcrumbs. Whatever I can get what you're presenting, then I go to Facebook, then I go to Google+, then I go to Twitter, then I go to your Pinterest, then I go to, let's say you have a MySpace or some other social sites, and think of it now, I'm getting breadcrumbs. Well, if I get enough breadcrumbs and I put them all together, I now have a cracker. And now let's say I just Google your show and I find any pictures of you or any videos, and I notice in your images, I can look, because obviously you didn't, I can look over your shoulder in your images, and I can see you're standing outside your house. Oh, and by the way, you're right in front of your door in front of your house. It's 374. And that's what I do slowly but surely, to where if I spend enough time, I basically have an entire profile of both you ladies.
That's interesting.
Now let's throw in geolocation, and so really, to the iPredator, okay, just like with psychopaths, you know, it's called dimensionality. That came out from a great neuroscientist. His name is Dr. James Fallon, because I spent a lot of time still studying the psychopath. But there's a term called dimensionality. I used to, and I still do in my head, that I would say that iPredators or psychopaths, they are on a continuum, my continuum. I still don't use dimensionality. I use it in formal settings. That the continuum for an iPredator in terms of aptitude, dexterity, and skills ranges from stupid ass all the way up to Hannibal Lecter. And do you remember Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Okay, so I use that continuum, but it's, you know, it's not professional. So let's say dimensionality. And that the psychopath or the cyber stalker or the online sexual predator will range in terms of his success, his ability to target and to offend, ranging from very ineffective, stupid, all the way up to, goodness, he can take your bank accounts and shut you down and you don't even know his first name. You have that entire continuum and everything in between. But the reality is personal information. The more personal information you put in the cyberspace, the more you open yourself up to being targeted. Now, you take ladies like yourselves. You have an internet radio show. Your internet radio show is going to grow because you're nice people. And, you know, you, the two of you, because you are in the proverbial, let's say, spotlight, you are public figures, and as your show grows, okay, and let's say you do an interview with Blog Talk Radio or somebody, you know, on and on and on and on. Well, in each of those radio, just like tonight, okay? If I was an eye predator and you ladies, you know, I was an eye predator and I got you to tell me that where you live, basically, an eye predator who's really looking to target you is going to take pieces from your audio clips, your video clips, your images, and anything you write in cyberspace. Personal information, personal information, personal information.
That's interesting. So do you think when you fill out those forms for more information that, I mean, what do you call being in cyberspace, not in chat rooms or...
Well, I mean, if you're, for instance, if you're joining a social networking site, let's say Facebook or Google Plus, you have to provide some personal information. As long as it's a reputable social media site, let's say Google Plus or Facebook, it's safe to give, if you have to give, you know, your name and address. Now, normally when you have to fill out information, there is hardcore information because, you know, and God bless them, they have to verify that you are who you're saying. I think they could do a heck of a lot more, but at a minimum, they want to verify that, let's say, you're an adult or you're a person who is saying that you own this company. There's a lot of places where it says optional, okay? In the optional category, there's no, if it's optional, don't fill it out. Even with them, I would say don't fill it out. But never give personal information to anyone. I even though it's done and I understand it, is don't never, ever give your Social Security number out. Never. Because a real institution who asks for your Social Security number, they will always only ask for the last four digits of the Social Security number, not the whole one. I have gotten emails from PayPal, okay? And it wasn't PayPal. And once I look at, you know, where it was coming from, once I looked at the questions and what they were asking from me, I knew then and there that it wasn't PayPal. But you look at it, it looks like PayPal. They've got the emblem and it looks like PayPal. But it wasn't PayPal. And that is where particularly older folks have to be very careful. You know, because if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it is a duck. Well, in cyberspace, sometimes it can walk like a duck, talk like a duck, but in reality, it's a vulture.
Okay.
You mentioned as well that, for example, regarding cyberstalking, that can ultimately lead to implied threat of physical harm or threat of physical harm.
Well, in today, in the United States, cyberstalking, in order for it to be cyberstalking, is there has to be a pattern of indirect or direct threat to one's physical body or harm. So, for instance, if I'm just coming and calling and posting information that you ladies have a crappy radio show, you should close down, you guys are, you know, are really Nazis, and I just throw out a lot of garbage nonsense, and I do it regularly, that would be cyber harassment. But now, let's say I start adding in, you know what, ladies, when you leave the studio tonight or when you go out to go visit your kids, if I were you, I would check your back tires and see if there's any nine-penny nails in there. Or when you walk out of church or when you do that, you better be careful and see if you don't smell gas around your – when I start putting that into the harassment, it now turns into cyberstalking. Because now I'm making direct or indirect threats to your life. And that's what cyberstalking is. So you have, of all the typologies of eye predator, cyberstalking is the one that has dual meanings. You can either be a cyberstalker, okay, or you can engage in cyberstalking. That's the only one of all of them that has kind of like a dual meaning. But both of those tend to, well, have to, at least in a court of law here in the United States, there has to be an implied or direct physical threat to you, your loved ones, or your property.
fascinating information. And you know, you had mentioned too in the show's program's first moments that aspect of cyber terrorism, and that indeed would, am I correct, relate to ISIS. Also, some of the reported a crime now occurring on internet by groups from, for example, espionage attempts by the Chinese or a Chinese either government or Chinese parties regarding American and international concerns. Also, there's been a great deal of reporting regarding threats by Russian parties against credit card and bank information. Does that fall within cyber terrorism?
Oh, my goodness, yes, yes. And, well, it would fall into, and see, this is why I created iPredator, because to me, they can all overlap. So what you're talking about, which is of great concern, goodness, you know, with ISIS, with the Russian mob, that the organized crime elements, not all organized crime, but definitely organized crime and then also terrorists, are using social media as a portal to do exactly what we're talking about, is iPredator stuff. We now live in what's called the information age. And now, what is the greatest weapon going forward? It's not a gun, it's not an M16, it's not a grenade, although they're scary, it's information. And information from now, I don't know, I know I'll be long gone. Information will be the most lethal weapon against humanity from now until, I don't know. That is one of the primary tenets of iPredator, because information you can't touch. Cyberspace you can't touch. Now, what is ISIS doing? What they're doing is they're using social media, and we just heard on TV, I don't get to watch TV a lot because I'm always, you know, working on iPredator, but now we've got these three young ladies that are going, I don't know if it's going back to the Middle East, essentially are claiming that they want to be part of ISIS. And, you know, now they're tweeting and stuff like that, but really when you think about it, and, you know, ISIS, they don't live in the middle of the desert. They are college educated. They can be very Americanized. And just like when we went through, we had the Boston bombers at the marathon. When you looked at them and talked like them, they didn't act like they were terrorists. Did they?
It's true.
And now that is, when it comes to cyber terrorism and what ISIS is doing, when you hear social media, that's what they're doing. They're doing exactly what we're talking about. So now, if I'm ISIS, I'm looking for kids that are disenfranchised with their life. I'm looking for a young Timothy McVeigh that just came out of the military and is, you know, somewhat, you know, against the government or something along those lines. I'm looking for people that feel isolated or discouraged and are disenfranchised about their life, about their community, and about their future life. And once I can find you, now I start to throw in these, oh, you're really a smart person. You're really – and that is where the grand grooming comes in. I mean, obviously, when we use the term grooming, that tends to apply to pedophiles that are targeting a child. Well, grooming can also occur when you've got, like ISIS, looking and targeting adults that they know that they can manipulate – into doing something heinous here in this country.
That's very important information. And, you know, ISIS's use of those horrific videos of beheading seems to be just the ultimately perverse use of media to promote their concepts. But, you know, to the a person who is dysfunctional, perhaps that might be one of their reasons to promote their ideology and also attract those who could be groomed.
That is correct. There are people that would be, how would I say this? They would be, how do I say this? No, they would be starstruck by those stories. Wow, look at that. And that's where the grooming begins. And, you know, the beheadings, it's vacillated. I mean, and then you have, you know, pundits who say it didn't happen, it happened then, it happened last. To me, whether it happened or not, to me, not that it doesn't mean anything, because it means everything. When I heard of that and I hear what's being done now, the first thing in my mind is, what are they, what are the enemies trying to communicate to us? And what they're trying to communicate is they're trying to inspire fear, first and foremost, but a close second is, hey, you know, we're not so bad. Why don't you come join us? And that's where the whole social media piece comes in. Because there are young folks in this country and adults that would be willing to join the ranks of ISIS.
Well, that certainly has become a major concern.
Unfortunately, what I believe is that, and believe me, I am a patriot. I love America. I am pro-USA all the way. But I can't understand why we haven't made it a national goal or manifesto to have every community in this great country, 3,161 counties, by the way, to where we create, you know, internet safety, cybersecurity, kind of like watch groups, but in a cyberspace standpoint. Because, you know, when it comes to, like, whether it be ISIS or any of this stuff, you know, most of them going forward are not going to look like they just came off the plane from Afghanistan or Pakistan.
Well,
they're
going to
look like you and me.
China has it where Facebook, they can't, for the past 2 years or so, has not been able to, you won't be able to, you know, get on Facebook there or connect with anybody in China.
Well, here you certainly have no problem. See, the thing is, the goal is of all adversaries, whoever they may be, whether they're the Russians, the Chinese, what's going on with ISIS, they're not looking, you know, solely to do it from their homelands to target us, okay? What they're looking to do are put down seeds here in the United States and then to grow them and foster them so that they grow and become enemies of the United States. And that's where the whole social media piece comes in.
And that, indeed, the American community should really be proactive in preventing this ideology to attempt to groom our young people with informational responses to our young people about just what ISIS and other groups represent, and just how misleading their information is. And actually, it's brutalizing. It's really horrific. And you know, your comment as well, Dr. Nucitelli, on the fact that, albeit the internet is a construct that isn't physical in nature, it can cause devastating harm to people's individual lives here in America, such as the spreading of photos to defame individuals, and their lives might never be the same afterwards.
Ladies, when it comes to, and I forget it too, and I try, is I don't know how many satellites we have circling the Mother Earth, and I don't know how many of those satellites are military satellites that are directly connected to all, you know, hard, you know, weapons that we have, whether they're known by us or not, you know, us, the people. Nonetheless, they are connected via satellites that several hundreds of them, you know, spin around this Earth many times every single day. Well, in a cyber terrorist attack, people have said to me, so what's the big deal? What, are they going to shut down the computers for a week or two? And the answer is no, dummy. What do you think connects to those military satellites up there in the stratosphere? Computers. So a cyber terrorist attack is not just looking to proverbially take out the grid. The cyber terrorist is going to not just take out the grid, but it's also going to redirect and do whatever needs to be done with those satellites. And people seem to not understand that it's more than just, oh, man, my Facebook is going to be shut down for 2 weeks because of those Saudi Arabia. You know, No, it's much, much bigger than that. They're coming to American colleges. They're going to colleges in England and all the industrialized nations of the world. They're brilliant people. They're just like us, and they're not riding camels in the middle of the desert. And if they are on camels in the middle of the desert, well, what do they got now? They pull the iPad right out of their satchel or their smartphone. They're connected. So they can be a Bedouin tribe in the middle of the Sahara or any desert on the face of the earth now, and they're connected.
And they have the resources to do great, great harm.
That is correct.
Well, now it's October, and I think this is a brilliant point as well of yours, Dr. Nucitelli, on the importance of cyberbullying. And there's been a new online volunteer group of Google Plus members called CANE, or Cyber Attack Prevention Network. Could you give us some details on this? It sounds like a wonderful initiative.
Yes, well, I actually have been working on it today, and one of the things, you would be absolutely amazed, ladies, and every time I see it, I'm literally flabbergasted. In Google Plus, there must be, I would say, between 15 and 25 kids. And God, they're going to hear this radio show, and they're going to be mad at me because I said kids. They're not kids. Let's just say they're teens. I guess I can say teens. They would prefer I say young adults, I guess, but they're teens. They're 15, anywhere from 15, some of them are 14, but let's say 15 to the early 20s. What they do when they go into Google Plus, they don't go in, and they do occasionally, you know, talk about, oh, the new song or the new dress or the hottest, you know, football. That's only done 15 to 20% of the time. The rest of the time what these kids do, they go out and they look for cyber stalkers, online sexual predators. They go out and look for, other than cyber terrorists, all the typologies of a predator. They find them, they report them, and then they send out the word to block them and to report them to Google. And then not only do they report them to Google, but then they monitor to see if Google's actually deleted them. Because Google, like Facebook, you know, the big social networking sites, you know, 80% of the time, it's almost as if you're sending reports and nothing's being done. So they even monitor that too. And the stuff that they have sent me, I will get an email, Dr. Nooch, or to one of my Google Plus profiles, to, let's say, iPredator, and it will be a list of, let's say, five Google profiles. And it'll just say report and block. I just click on them, go, and if I want, I can see why. I click, I report them for whatever the report is, whether it's sexual or graphic or obscene, and then I block them. And I've seen them do this, I don't know how many times. Now, the thing is, and they do not get recognition from that. I believe they should. So that is why I created CANE, the Cyber Attack Investigation Network. And over this weekend, I started to create a Google Plus page and then also Google Community, to where it will be like a central hub where they can all come to and they can all post and publish to be able to, you know, create a database of the dark side. And I've also offered them that if they go for jobs, or particularly when they go for, you know, to apply for college, Dr. Nucitelli and my other associates have no problem writing them commendation letters for what they're doing, because what they're doing is absolutely, I can't express it enough, absolutely amazing. But they're not recognized, and they need to be. That's why I created CANE.
That's such an innovative program and so important. They're protecting themselves and their schoolmates, and definitely that will be something that deserves a recommendation, and also perhaps even school credit. And they are so attuned to the internet technology. That's just a brilliant idea. Now, Dr. Nucitelli, for people, for students to reach out to you, they can find you at the Google Plus group. Any suggestions there?
Well, I mean, anybody can reach out. They can contact me. Is Google iPredator. It's, think of iPhone, the lowercase I, then Predator. The only other eye predator there is funny. A couple of Swedish or from Switzerland, a couple of kids like 3 or 4 years back created a VPN, a virtual private network, called Eye Predator, and then Pirate Bay bought it. So if you Google Eye Predator, is I'm like on the first page, third or fourth position, where it'll say cyber stalking, cyber crime, and internet safety prevention. That is iPredator. And whether it's in Facebook, you can do the iPredator in Google Plus. Not that I go to all of them, but, you know, iPredator, not just myself, but other. We are members, I think, of 140 social sites. But the ones that we use, which most people use, are the top five, which are Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn. Now, for the kids, I don't spend much time, you know, for the kids, what's big is Instagram, Snapchat, and now you got this new one coming up called Keek. And next week I'm going to spend some time and start studying that because, you know, for the kids, well, who's going to go to the kids' social sites? Online sexual predators.
Yes, define victims, and... Excuse me. It seems that the younger generations now are faced with such an exponential growth of technology. These threats that they are really exposed to now are so much more serious than the ones that I remember from my years as a youth so many decades ago.
The difference is, oh, that's such a beautiful, I'd give you a nice Italian hug if I was out in front of you. The difference is now, ladies, and this is for your listeners, what you put in cyberspace stays there permanently. You can't delete it. You can't get rid of it. You can't hide it because once you put it in a cyberspace, if one person, which of course is going to happen, picks it up, you know, everybody thinks of the term viral. I want it to go viral. Yeah, okay, if you're selling a widget or you're selling something. But if somebody, you know, says that, you know, you're a thief or you're a molester or you're whatever the bad term is, you certainly don't want that to go viral. And unfortunately what happens with children and with adults, we look at congressmen, oh, goodness, was it a wiener? Oh, goodness, I forgot that story. It's been so long, there's been so many. You know, you've got people... In cyberspace, money, race, creed, color has nothing to do with what can happen to you if personal information about yourself is released in cyberspace. Doesn't matter. You know, doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter, you know, who you hire. Once it's there, it stays there. And that's the unfortunate, particularly for young folks that are going to college. Like, for instance, even now, it's not against the law, and I don't know if they can be sued, but when you go for college admission, or if you go for a job, whatever job, it is kind of like an unwritten rule that an employer or a college admissions board is not supposed to do an SEO search, is not supposed to Google you. Well, you know what? They're all doing it. You know, they're not supposed. I think the last survey they did with college admission boards, I think they came out with like 30%. And those were the ones that were just willing to admit it, that they were doing it. My feeling is that college admission boards and employers, I know employers because I've spoken to employers, and that has got to be close to 90%. Because if you think of it, ladies, if you had a business and you are going to employ somebody for a new position, whatever it may be, and you get 15 curriculum vitae, 15 resumes, what are you going to do? Are you just going to look at the paper and rely on what's on the paper and then rely on the interview? No. Today, you're going to do a Google search. You're going to put their name in and read the first page, maybe the second page. That has changed everything. So now one of the biggest things that people have to worry about, both young and old, is online reputation. And I can't emphasize, and this is where personal information becomes lethal. But it can literally ruin a person's entire life just by what they said or did, you know, and what they posted. I've had adults call me who, out of the blue, they get a divorce, and not the divorcee, the ex-wife or the ex-husband, but the ex-husband's or the ex-wife's uncle's friends, whatever, who he or she got an argument with me several years back. Well, now that, you know, you're divorced, now all of a sudden what he or she posts in cyberspace is college 1989 at that frat party where I was mooning myself and bending over in the middle of the campus. I was 19 years old, and now all of a sudden it's in cyberspace and it's published and posted on the walls of social media. And I am now the head of a medium-sized company going for a bigger position. Now all of a sudden my potential employer can see that picture when he Googles my name and goes to images.
What a tremendous threat to anyone's career, and indeed the defamation and harm can be truly horrific. You know, indeed, your advice is just so timely in this age. I've got a comment to make here, and I hope this isn't overreactionary, but I've noticed, now I have a, it's actually a 4-hour round trip each day as I go to work. And I've noticed in crowded buses, sometimes the metro, but usually the bus, there'll be a number of young students. Most of them are very, very charming. But I see a growing habit of students clicking pictures of younger students, particularly those who arrive looking particularly fashionable or attractive. That's really a horrible, to me, that could be a very dangerous custom. What do you think?
It is, let me give you my little, it's now been about 10 months ago, and my primary care doctor, not that he's listening, Dr. Nashua, great man, family doctor for anybody here in New York, is I was coming out of his office and driving home. He's right across the street here in New York in Dutchess County, right across the street from John Jay High School, big high school, great high school, God bless all of them there. And, you know, so I come out of his doctor's office, and I approach the light, which is right across the street from John Jay, here. It must have been around about 2:45, 10 minutes to 3. All the kids are out. I come to a stoplight, and there are 23 kids, like they're always, you know, all in a big group, 23 of them, all right? I count, while I'm at the stoplight, 17 of the 23 kids, not talking to each other, but all have their smartphones in front of their face, clicking, clicking, clicking. 17 out of 23. Now, if that is not a true archetype, a metaphor of disconnection, I don't know what is. And when I seen that, I thought to myself, dear God, when I was that age, I was talking about girls and, you know, the football games and laughing and being a total idiot as a teenager. Now they're all, 17 of the 23 ladies had their smartphones in front of them, and I could see them clicking and clicking, like you're saying, clicking. I have another friend. She's an iPredator team member. Her name is Rosemary. She is a administrator of a big group practice across the river over here, Valley Behavioral Medicine. And she told me a very quick story. She's got a 15-year-old daughter, and on Sundays, her daughter and her daughter's friends would come over, and they still do it, and they all go down into the basement in the big den, and they watch TV. She told me this about close to now, it's a year, and I won't forget it. And she said that she's downstairs, the TV's on, and there's about 6 or 7 girls all sitting around. You don't hear a word out of them. All seven girls, ladies, are sitting there chinking, clicking their smartphones. They're not talking to each other. They're not looking at each other, and they're not watching TV, and they're not talking to mom. They have their smartphones in front of them, all of them. And my friend Rosemary said to me, she goes, I couldn't believe it. I stopped and I just thought about when I was, because when you think about it, it's all changed. The interpersonal dynamics of what's going on is incredible. Teenagers. So when they all took off, she asked her daughter, you know, why weren't you talking to your girlfriends? Why weren't you talking about boys? She goes, we were, but we were using our smartphones. So now when you think about it, we don't even have to talk to each other. We now do it through these little things called smartphones.
Indeed, entirely different modalities of communication and interaction. Certainly such a change from prior generations.
Now, if I may, is one of them, which brings up cyberbullying, because we're in National Bullying Prevention Month,
yes.
One of them, not the daughter, but one of the girls who had told the daughter, while they were sitting there, she was posting on a message board for teens one of the cyberbullying tactics. It's called exclusion. Now, if the three of us are teenagers, one of the cyberbullying tactics called exclusion, what I do is I say, guess what? This weekend we're having a big bash party, you know, right down here on Maple Street, and Susan, you're available, and Beth and Tony, can't wait to see you. Yeah, wear those Converse sneakers again, but don't tell Susan. Don't tell her about the party. Now, that gets communicated in cyberspace. Everybody reads that, and who else reads it is Susan. Susan is excluded from a social event. It is a cyberbullying tactic. The cyberbully, the person who disseminates it, knows that Susan is going to see and read that, and knows Susan is going to be excluded, and then also knows the other friends who are included also know that Susan is excluded. Exclusion. That's one out of 38 cyberbullying tactics. Now, how would you feel if you're Susan?
Devastated. And indeed,
exactly.
You have excellent material on cyberbullying at that iPredator site. And you mentioned it is a tool for information dissemination and here definitely to harm.
It is, I believe, and I can't, like I said, everything I've created, ladies, why do you think, given that we live in the information age, given that we're dealing with ISIS, given that all of this stuff is going on, cyberbullicide, which is a new term that has never been, you know, dealt with before until the information before, is when a person, well, obviously a lot of them are teens, commits suicide from being cyberbullied. It's called cyberbullicide. That is a term new to the information age. Why do you think kids and even adults are starting to commit cyberbullicide? Well, you can't be cyberbullied if you're adult. It's more trolling and harassment. But what do you think is occurring to where people, if they're defaming me so much that it would put me in such a state that I would take my life? Because it's always been going on, gossip and, you know, cattiness. But now, for some reason, and I can't explain it, is that the targets, the victims now, they take it much deeper. And I don't know why.
Tremendous brutalization factor.
Yeah, but that's always gone on. There's always been, you know, the one that gets picked on. I was bullied as a kid, you know. It's just different now. I mean, the one thing when it comes to cyberbullying, what I always tell people, because every now and then I'll get a, you know, I call them a stunats, you know, is somebody who's like, oh, cyber, what's the big deal? At least you're not getting the crap beat out of you, you know. And I always, well, yeah, okay, you know a lot. The difference is when I was a child and I was bullied, okay, they would beat me up. They would push me on the school grounds, in schools, maybe in a ball field somewhere. But at the end, I used to get – what did I get to do? I used to come home and be with my friends and be with my family. I had sanctuary. I had safety. And then when the summers came around, no school, I had even more, you know, sanctuary. Now, for today's children, it is literally 24/7, 365, because it's no longer a physical environment where the bullying is occurring. It now is happening in cyberspace. So now that it's Sunday and I'm not at the ball field playing baseball and I'm certainly not in school, well, now the same thing is happening but in Snapchat or Instagram, and it's just constant.
You know, that research is just so innovative. Here, quoting you directly under cyberbullying, the material, two sentences which I thought was just very perceptive. Direct cite, it has been speculated that children view the real world and the online or virtual world as part of a seamless continuum. Unable to differentiate reality from virtual reality, victims of online bullying can become psychologically devastated and or internet bullies themselves, end quote. That's extremely insightful.
Oh, my God, there's a term. I certainly didn't come up with it, and I couldn't find who the actual person. It's called the virtual reality continuum, and that it applies to adults, but it is more impacting to children, the younger, you know, is that the theory states under the virtual reality continuum is that the younger you are, the harder it is to differentiate between reality and virtual reality, between what is real and what is cyberspace. This is why children become so enveloped and enamored by video games, because when they play video games, they really get into it, and essentially they're almost the character. Whereas adults, not to say that adults don't get into it, because online gaming is a multi-billion dollar industry. There's conventions out in Vegas for it. But what the virtuality-reality continuum is, the thought is for children or those that are, let's say, I don't say intellectually competent. It has nothing to do with intellect. It has to do with more emotional development, is that the more immature a person is, okay, the more difficult it is for them to understand the difference between what is real and what is virtual.
Boy, those are fascinating findings. And, you know, Dr. Nutricelli, if you don't mind, at this time I'd like to repeat your iPredator network of websites, the first being iPredator at www.ipredator.co. The site for dark psychology with your dark psychology research at darkpsychology.co, and Dr. Internet Safety at drinternetsafety.com. Now, Brunel, do you have any other questions? And Brunel, she might have stepped away, Doctor. Do you have any final comments? I have found this information and your discussion this evening extremely informative, very, very worthwhile.
Well, I'd like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you to you and Brunel and to those that you work with to allow me to come on to be able to help educate your listeners. You know, it is amazing that, you know, no matter how much I do this, it just makes me realize, you know, how much more I need to do it. You know, we've got to change what's going on. We've got to stop the dark side from growing. And then the last thing, I just one more time want to say, you know, God bless Jackie Henry from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and good luck to her. God bless her. She could use it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nutricelli, and sir, God bless you and your work. I hope you'll be a return guest.
Anytime. You're always welcome to call me. I'm always out in cyberspace and in reality. I really am Michael Nutricelli.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Dr. Nutricelli, and thank you to our audience. Time very well spent, and wonderful weekend to everyone. Good night, Dr. Nutricelli, and wishing our audience a wonderful weekend.
Good night.
Good night.
Welcome to the world, babies. When your folks decided to have you, they made a promise. To love you. To sleep in two-hour increments. To eat dinner in shifts. To forget about ever, ever going out to a movie. And to live in a home that looks like a toy store after a Twister. Oh, and the biggest promise of all? To send you out into the world someday.
You ain't hearing you up without warning. Now I'm walking to work.